I'd like to welcome you all. My name is Maria, and this is Ananta, and it's our joy to be with you all here today. Thank you for braving the warmth and bringing your energy to share. I'm going to read from Rays of the One Light, and these are weekly commentaries inspired from the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita, written by Swami Kriyananda and inspired by Yogananda's commentaries. And this is week 33, and the title is, Does Satan Exist? Truth is one and eternal. Realize oneness with it in your deathless self within. The following commentary is based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. The Bible tells us in chapter 4 of the Gospel of St. Matthew, Then after baptism, was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? To most modern minds, this passage seems quaintly obsolete. Psychologists would say, have said in fact, that the temptation of Jesus, if it occurred at all, was purely psychological. They call it a projection of desires lurking in his own subconscious mind. The subconscious plays a strong part, certainly, even if not a unique one, in any testing the spiritual seeker must undergo. The Bhagavad Gita, in dealing with this undeniable reality, quotes Arjuna in the third chapter, and then Sri Krishna's reply. Yet tell me, teacher, said Arjuna, by what force doth man go to his ill, unwilling, as if one pushed him in that path? Krishna replied, desire it is, passion it is, born of the darknesses which pusheth him, mighty of appetite, sinful, and strong is this man's enemy. Yet even Krishna describes passion as born of the darknesses. The fact is, as Paramahansa Yogananda wrote in Autobiography of a Yogi, all thoughts vibrate eternally in the cosmos. Thoughts are universally and not individually rooted. A truth cannot be created, but only perceived. Psychology, yes, but psychology attuned to currents of consciousness that pervade the entire universe, attracted by each of us according to our own personal inclinations. Yogananda, quoted in The Path, said, I used to think Satan was only a human invention. But now I know and add my testimony to that of others who lived before me that Satan is a reality. He is a universal conscious force whose sole aim is to keep all beings bound to the wheel of delusion. We should take pains, then, to attract uplifting currents of universal consciousness and to avoid attracting the negative, which, disease that it is, can infect our thoughts, even while it leads us to believe that our thoughts are purely our own. Thus, through Holy Scripture, God has spoken to mankind. Om, Om, Om.
I'd like to read from Whispers from Eternity, a book by Paramahansa Yogananda, a prayer demand called Driving the Rebel King Ignorance. O mighty mystic judge of life, I ask thee in my hall of soul stillness, what is sin? Thy whispers of silence, dim at first, grew into bright articulations of thought. I heard and understood thy meaning. Sin is a rebel king. His name is ignorance. Ignorance is the perpetrator of all evil, the main root of the tree of ill health, the primal cause of all error and soul blindness. King Ignorance and his army of bacteria, physical disease, mental desires, dullness and false ambition, spiritual indifference to high truths, have been devastating the nourishing harvest fields of spirituality. That harvest of countless fulfillments was ripe for reaping when the harsh tread of error trampled it to the ground. I wanted to weep with despair when I heard thy voice whispering to me in my soul, the sun of my protection shines on thee always, equally on thy sunny days and on thy coal black nocturnal hours. Thou shouldst always have faith in me and smile, for the greatest of all sins against me is not to be happy. Let the ripples of unceasing smiles play over thy face. Through their transparency, my light will come to thine assistance. By smiling with determined happiness, thou wilt always please me. I was severely tempted this morning to let the song be the service and just meditate the rest of the time. I love that song. I love the version you did. Beautiful job. And it expresses, as all Swami Kriyananda songs do, in a deceptively understated way, very, very deep truths about the spiritual path and spiritual life. I think it's Swami's forte to write songs like this, which was written many years ago. The title is Devil Worship, if you want to look it up on your MP3 player. And he addresses this question of Satan and darkness in exactly the way that Paramahansa Yogananda did. And you'll find, as you become increasingly acquainted with Swami Kriyananda, that everything he does is either extension or new expression of the truths that Paramahansa Yogananda gave all of us and him personally. The devil doesn't play a big center role in Paramahansa Yogananda's teachings, but as Swami pointed out, he does exist as a current of negativity in this world. It is, in fact, why we're here. We would all be liberated if Maya didn't very subtly sort of pull us in two directions, down and out. It's basically the bad guys, down and out. The good guys, in and up. It's that simple. But it's very complicated because the devil is quite tricky. Satan in the East is called Maya. I prefer that term because I was born in the West and was a little Roman Catholic boy and was real scared of the devil when I was a little kid, especially when he appeared to me one night in a dream, totally freaked me out, showed up in my front yard, came up in a circle about yay big, right in the sword ferns, and he's got the suit on, the red suit, he's got the little horns, little goatee, he's got the tail, and I was frightened out of my mind. And I couldn't believe he was there. I mean, I'm 5 years old. What could I have done wrong, you know? So I ran to my mom, and my mom knew God, and she was always talking to God and always talking to Jesus, and I knew that she'd know what to do here. So I was thoroughly scared. I said, Mom, the devil just appeared to me in my dream. So she took a very interesting tack. First of all, she said, oh, the devil, okay. And she didn't deny that it happened. She said, well, it's nothing to worry about. I went, really? It's really scary. And she said, well, but the devil is afraid of Jesus. And so all you have to do, if you ever see the devil again, is bless yourself and the devil will go away. You bless yourself, you touch the Ajna chakra, Manipur chakra, and then you go across the heart, left to right, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That's all you have to do. I knew how to do that because I was already 5 years old, so I had been praying my whole life too, so all 5 years of it. So I said, okay, good. And she goes, okay, now go out and play. Just don't worry about it. No big deal. I said, okay, no big deal, no big deal, no big deal. Okay, so next night, who comes back? Prince of Darkness, right there in my front yard. And I look and I'm just like, oh no, he's back again. I am scared to death again. But then I remember, call on Jesus, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the devil ran away. He ran, as predicted by my mother, he ran down the road with his tail between his legs. And that was the specific instruction she gave me. So, and he ran down the thing. And I was like, good, good. So that's that. Now, I've never had another encounter with the devil. That was the end of it. So this was 55 years ago. He hasn't been back. And I don't think he's coming back either. But it was interesting because I thought later, as I found out Master's teachings, this is the solution to when we confront evil, is turn to the light and call on the Guru. Guru means dispeller of darkness. That is what the word means. And so when we call on the Guru, my mother's Guru was Jesus, of course. And when we call on the Guru, when we call on the light, what we need is light. When we call on that power, the devil, the darkness, the Maya has no hold. It can't handle it because it is the antithesis. The movement of prayer and consciousness upward is the antithesis of moveward downward. It's interesting. Swami tells a story about Paramahansa Yogananda one time laying on his bed and a demon jumped on his stomach, Paramahansa Yogananda's stomach. Master's on his back, and the demon jumps on his stomach. And Master called on Sri Teshwar. He called on his guru. Now, Master is a guru. Master's an avatar. Master is a prem avatar. But he calls on Sri Teshwar to dispel the demon. And Swami's pointed that out, that interesting that even a guru calls on their guru to push that darkness away. Rajasi, in his writings, said at the end of his life, he also experienced Satan. And he echoed what Master said, that this principle, this form exists, not in any given form, but this thought current that is the Maya, that's the separator. Another definition for Maya is the measurer. It's that which separates everything. The unitive consciousness of God, of light, pervades everything, creates everything, harmonizes everything. The Maya separates it, us and them. This is the experience I think that most of us have in terms of Maya, is a separation. Living in a spiritual community, being surrounded by disciples, doing everything that we do as an effort at expressing divine love, harmony, uplifting consciousness inward and upward, it's not likely that many of us are going to run into this thought form of the devil or the darkness, but we do run into it in much more subtle forms. And we see it nibbling around the edges of our work as little thoughts of negativity, little thoughts of despondency, discouragement. Oh, Swami's written all these books. I've been a disciple as long as Swami. I haven't written any books. Swami's written all this music. I haven't written any music. You know, just a little negativity, a little bit of despondency, a little bit of depression. And that's the force of Maya. But it's important, as Maria read in this, it's a conscious force. And there's an element in the approach that Master took and that Swami took in this song being much lighter than most devil songs, that this is sport. This is really sport. This is a lila. This is a dance. And in every dance, you have to have left and right. You have to have good and evil. Otherwise, there's no drama. There's no peace treaty if you don't have the evil lords. You got to have the evil lords or, you know, what kind of play are we going to do for 2.5 hours? It's got to be this dilemma. And this is what we see, is there's this pull, this conscious pull that pulls us down. And our antidote is what we need is light. How their interest must intrigue him, they won't let him out of sight. Swami doesn't talk about the devil all the time. Rarely does he talk about the devil. Rarely did Master talk about the devil. The thing that they talk about all the time is rays of the one light. It's concentration at the point between the eyebrows and on the positive movement of energy that is the solution. That's what solves this dilemma, and that's what gets us out of the Maya, is not to delve into it and drop down into it and analyze it and participate in it and, you know, get all emotionally, getting our emotions out. It's to very calmly, inwardly, and with our attention at the point between the eyebrows on the light, to focus and realize that in the last analysis, the Maya is illusory. It's not real. That's the key. And that's why Swami and Master have a certain lighthearted approach to this subject. Does Satan exist? Yes. Does he nibble at the edges? Yes. Does he pull us down? Yes. Does he make our car broke down at the wrong time? Yes. Indeed. But in the last analysis, it's only the light of God and the love of God that defeat that negative energy. You can't drive out the darkness with a stick, but you can defeat the devil when we love. That's the essence of these teachings. I had an interesting experience a few weeks ago. We have a program here called Living with Spirit, and for 3 weeks, we invite 18 to 30-year-old people who are interested in truth and yoga and meditation to come and live with us, study with us, play with us, work with us, explore the community, our teachings. And each year at the end of that program, on the end of 3 weeks, we have a closing circle and we just go around and we ask people, you know, how are you doing? What did you think of this? How did we do? How did our program do? How did you do? How is this? And this year, as happens every year, a young lady, wonderful young disciple who had never been here. No, she's not a disciple of a given path, but she's a young truth seeker. She came and she said, in the circle, we just went around, and she said, I want to thank you for giving a place where people, young people, can openly love God. And I thought, cool, good, great. But I've heard that every single year that we've done the program. This is the extension of the old apprentice program, that so 1975 to the current. I'm sure that every year a young person would express that. And I thought how beautiful that she felt that. But I also thought how sad that in our current milieu, we have created an environment where to be a young, intelligent, she's a sleep technician, she's a college graduate, she's a modern American young lady, it's not okay to love God. It's not okay to think about God. It's not okay to talk about God. Why not? Because the Maya has infiltrated our consciousness and our media and our society and is constantly trying to poison the thought form with the idea that people who love God are weird people. People who love God are fanatical people. People who love God don't have a brain in their heads. Basically, they're idiots. And we are educated, intelligent college students, and we would never be so superstitious or silly. I thought, how sad, but at the same time, how typical of Maya, softly to infiltrate and kind of nibble at the edges and to guilt by inference. I remember one time Marie and I introduced ourselves as the minister of Ananda, and we were introduced to the father of an interested truth seeker. And he said, "Oh, Ananda, yeah, is that like the Ayatollah? Like, what the heck are you talking about? But then I realized this is Maya. This is the trickster, another name for the devil. Just that little consciousness of you couldn't be intelligent and for the good unless you were weird, stupid, odd, unless you fly planes into buildings or something like that. What that has to do with the light, I don't get. But I do understand that it's that consciousness. And I think that as we go forward as disciples, as we go forward as truth seekers, it's good to know that this is what the enemy's doing. He's not going to get you with the devil suit. You're not going to go for that. You're not going to go for pure evil. But a little despondency, a little depression, a little, gosh, those other people do yoga postures better than I do. Gosh, maybe I should give up, you know. I don't meditate as well as they do. Oh, maybe I should give up. You know, just constantly pulling us down. The solution is light. To put light at the center of your world and then to paint in every square with light, with the consciousness of the Master. And look at your day. Look at your thoughts. If your thoughts are running to negativity and materialism and even subtly, pull them back and use the practices. Chant. Repeat the names of God. Keep pictures of Master around. Keep pictures of saints. Keep pictures of beautiful nature scenes. Somehow keep your life rotating around the light. Sing the devil worship song. I mean, sing any of Swami's songs. Chant. Do this chant. I awaken thy light. And remember more and more that we're not here for the darkness. We're not even here to clean up the darkness. We're not here to, as Master put it, clean up the mud puddle. We're here to realize that on a higher level, at the point between the eyebrows, in the superconscious state, divine love and light are the foundations of this reality. That the more we look for that light, the more we see that light. In what we build, in what we do, in how we run our business, we should all have some conceptualization of what your job is and how you're serving the light. And if you're an insurance broker, that's a good thing for you, maybe. Are you a fair insurance broker? Are you helping those people who need insurance? Are you a cook? Do you cook well? Do you cook your vegetables the right amount? Do you bless your vegetables while you're cooking? If you're a fill in the blank, you've got to have a concept of yourself as a being of light, serving the light, and the mists of darkness and separation and ignorance fading more and more. Paramahansa Yogananda said that the spiritual path is difficult at first and then effortlessly liberating. It's difficult at first because you have that consciousness of separation, of Maya. We grow up with that. This is good. This is bad. We go to this church. They go to that church. We do this. They do that. Our army is good. Their army is bad. And the reality of it is that Divine Mother is playing all the parts. You're a child of the Divine Mother. We're playing your part, but you're a being of light. Remind yourself, when you meditate, that is the formal practice of withdrawing your energy into the spine, lifting into the point between the eyebrows, and basking in that reality. There is no darkness there. There can't be. Where my light is, the darkness cannot come. Master said, when you're in Om, nothing can touch you. When you're in Om, when you're at the point between the eyebrows, when you're meditating, there's no darkness. There's no duality. There's only one being in the universe. And that is the antidote to the Maya. Bit by bit, as you can see it in Kriyananda, you can see it in Master, Rajasi, Sister Gyanamata, the Maya is clearly seen as a mist that's blowing away. Sure, there's evil in the world. There's a bunch of evil right now, I'm sure. Not everybody's trying to find truth, but that reality dissipates like fog or like smoke in the wind. It blows away, and you see the light more and more. Paramahansa Yogananda saw the light all the time, and all the masters do. And all the masters have interfaces with the darkness. Krishna had to beat a whole bunch of demons when he was a little kid. They kept sending all these demons to kill Krishna, and the little Gopal he'd flip over a cart and kill the demon. He'd do this and that. He threw one demon into the sky. Just get rid of that darkness, because he was destined to be Krishna. You're destined to be realized. It will happen. And all this Maya and all this devil talk has no bearing on us, really, except it's just a subtle reminder that this is a leela, this is a drama, and you're the good guy, and he's the bad guy. Stay away from him. Stay away from my ocean of suffering. And when those little thoughts come of despondency, drown their noises, loudly chanting, God, God, God. God bless you all.